Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In your bulletin is the Catechism's teaching, the sixth chief part of our catechism on the sacrament of the altar. We turn our hearts and minds tonight to the great treasure of the church, the sacrament of the altar. Throughout this Lenten season, you and I have gathered each week in midweek vespers to allow the catechism to instruct and teach us on the truth of God's word. Sometimes the sacrament of the altar is known by different names in different church bodies and in Scripture itself. The Scriptures call it the Lord's Supper. It is referred to as the meal of thanksgiving, or in the Greek, the Eucharista, which is where we get the Eucharist word from. The book of Acts calls it the breaking of bread, and Paul admonishes us by telling us that it is a holy communion. There are other names for it that are not necessarily informed by scriptures, the meal, the table. They're not wrong, they're just not specifically from scripture. It is on this night that we gather to remember that our Lord instituted this meal for us. It's a gift for us tonight. For him, as you have attested, as you lifted your voices in song, this was his last supper. Our text began on the night when he was betrayed. That's how the Apostle Paul begins his summary of the Lord's Supper. They're in the upper room for this last supper, this last Passover. It is the eve of the crucifixion. Darkness is closing in. The betrayer is at the table. The cross is just hours away. Now you think about this from your own perspective. Where would you be in that kind of situation? Well, I can tell you where our Lord is, what our Lord does. He doesn't run. He doesn't panic. He gives. He gives his body. He gives his blood. He gives himself. And tonight, we remember that gift anew. The word Maundy, which we get Maundy Thursday from, comes from a Latin word, mandatum. It means commandment. It comes straight from the scriptures. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now the question that should plague your mind is, how did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us not just with words, but he loved us with his body and his blood. In that upper room, Jesus takes a towel and wraps it around himself. As a matter of fact, the stole that is worn by the office of ministry is intended to represent that towel, that signal and sign of servanthood, even by the teachers of God's people. He then stoops, and the master washes the feet of the students. And then he takes bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and he says, "This is my body given for you." And then the cup, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." It is the love of God that is made edible. It is real means that God gives to us. Not just some ethereal thinking, not just some feeling in our hearts, as if we would have the ability to feel our way to God, let alone think or reason our way to God. No, in this divine moment, love stoops to serve. Love dies to save. In the small catechism, we ask the question that anyone outside of Christ's church might ask, what is this sacrament of the altar that you all do? The answer? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. This is not mere symbol. It certainly is not an empty ritual. This is the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for us, really present in the bread and wine. Now let's just take for a moment and start with some of the basics. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? Why do we have it? Well, it wasn't thought up by me. It wasn't even thought up by the church. It is Jesus who institutes it. And it is Jesus who gives it to us. On the night he was betrayed, the night before he went to the cross, our Lord gathered his disciples in the upper room. He took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks and said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." This isn't a suggestion. He commanded it. He gave it. And he attached it to his word. And where the word of Christ is, there is Christ himself. That's why Luther teaches us to say it is not just the eating and the drinking, but it is the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. There were people who would say, "No, it's only the true body and true blood if I receive it, if I believe it." No, then that again, it's on you and nothing is on you. It's always from God. Our salvation, the gifts of grace, the means of grace are all acts of God. They have nothing to do with us. And so therefore, just like baptism is not our work, neither is the supper our work. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, it is his true body and true blood because his word says it is. It is his gift. As confessional Lutherans, we hold to what we call this real presence. That is, when the Lord's Supper is administered according to Christ's institution, we receive exactly what he said, his true body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. We don't try to explain it with philosophy. We don't reduce it to just a mere symbol or a memory device. We just simply confess what God's word says. This is my body. This is my blood. We seek to approach Christ with simplicity. Even as a child comes to Christ, did not our Lord lift up the faith of children as a model for us? Just as children believe their dear fathers and mothers, so too are you and I called to believe our Father in heaven. Called to believe the words of Jesus Christ. If Jesus says it, we dare not say otherwise. This isn't magic. But it is miraculous. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the heart of it all. Why do we come to the Lord's table? Because we are sinners. We come with our burdens. We come with our guilt. We come with our shame. We come with our brokenness. And we come with empty hands. And Jesus fills them. Not with condemnation, but with forgiveness, with life, and with salvation. This is not a general offer. It is personal, given and shed for you. Those are the most beautiful words that a sinner could ever hear. In the sacrament, Christ doesn't just tell you he forgives you. He puts forgiveness in your mouth. He places it on your tongue or in your hand. You receive him bodily, body and blood, crucified and risen, as a pledge, as a guarantee that your sins are truly forgiven. How do I know my sins are forgiven? Because God's word, Christ's word, has been united with the bread and wine. The true presence of Christ's body and blood is in the bread and wine, and it is given to you. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the work of Christ. I don't know, Pastor, that's an awful lot to take in. How could I ever be worthy of this? Well, my brothers and sisters, the day that you feel worthy, the day that you think you are worthy, may be the day you might want to refrain from coming. It's why Luther adds an important question to the catechism, because so many of us ask this question: who receives the sacrament worthily? The answer? Well, fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but the person is truly worthy. Are you ready? The person that is truly worthy and well prepared, who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You don't bring Christ your filthy rags of works, your personal piety of prayer and fasting. You bring to Christ the faith that he does what he says he does. This means that the supper is not for the proud. The supper is not for the unrepentant, not for those who deny Christ's words. This supper is for sinners. This supper is for the folks that need it. This supper is for those who believe in his promise. That's what it means to receive it worthily, not sinlessly. Good luck with that one. But to receive it in faith. This is why the church has always practiced close communion, not out of arrogance or judgment, but out of love and care. The sacrament is holy. You are taking into yourself Christ. Christ is truly present. And as you heard in the reading from the epistle, St. Paul warns that whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Think of it this way. We don't hand out medicine to strangers who do not know what they're taking. So also we guard the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it is also medicine for your soul. And we dare not treat that lightly. So what does the sacrament do? Our catechism says these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. This is not a bare memorial. This is not a sermon. This is something more. This is Christ for you in a way that is personal, physical, and present. It is here at this altar rail that the wounded are healed. It is here at this altar rail where the weak are strengthened. It is here at this raw altar rail where the dying are given the food of immortality. Well, let me leave you with one final thought. We live in a world of uncertainty, don't we? You may even find moments in your own life where you doubt, that you might question your own worth. And you, like me, may struggle with sin, with your flesh, as well as everyone else in this room. But here at this altar, my brother, my sister, there is certainty. Not in your feelings, not in your performance, not in your works, not in your deeds, but the certainty is in Christ's words. Take, eat, drink of it, all of you, given and shed for you. When you receive the sacrament in faith, you can say with confidence, I have tasted forgiveness. I have held peace in my hand. I have received Christ. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.